Hello and welcome to Ask an Atheist. I'm your host today, Becky Friedman. And with me today in the studio are Meredith and Wes. How are you guys?
I'm doing good, Becky. How are you?
Hello, everybody.
I'm good. Our country isn't. I mean, in some places, the leader of our country isn't. And for that, we have the best words as offered this week by Donald Trump. So we've got some interesting, hilarious things from Donald Trump. The first of which is that Donald Trump really isn't a fan of acknowledging climate change, which we knew, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So we as skeptics and science-based individuals would find that to be fairly despicable, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but okay. Not a surprise.
Not a surprise. But let's see exactly how he framed this. It was actually fairly hilarious. Donald Trump told reporters on Air Force One that we've had bigger storms than Irma when asked if the recent severe weather had changed his opinion on climate change. This was less than 2 weeks after having tweeted that Hurricane Irma was of epic proportion, perhaps bigger than we have ever seen, and described it as the largest storm ever recorded in the Atlantic.
Dun, bum, bum.
The White House followed up with an NOAA report, a NOAA report stating that it is, quote, premature to conclude that human activities have had a detectable impact on Atlantic hurricane or global tropical cyclone activity. But the same report warned that global warming will likely cause tropical cyclones globally to be more intense on average and lead to an increase in the occurrence of very intense tropical cyclones.
Bum, bum, bum.
Which is exactly what happened.
So an increase in very intense storms. So we have Irma, we have
Harvey.
You have Jose, you have Katya, you have all these very intense storms after like 3 years of kind of a sleepy lull. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know if we need to now change our segment on political things from the best words to epic words. Because really, this is, you know, in the lead up to this, as people were being awesome at looking at how to be prepared, how to evacuate, all those kinds of things, whether to evacuate, how to weather the storm. You have Donald Trump tweeting that this is the largest storm ever recorded in the Atlantic and a hurricane of epic proportion, perhaps bigger than we've ever seen.
Well, and don't forget that he also didn't realize that we even had Category 5 hurricanes.
He didn't realize that we only had
He didn't realize that Category 5s were a thing.
Okay.
A Category 5? That's unheard of.
Oh, is right. That what he had also said?
He has said that before, yes.
But then he also said that we've had bigger, as big or bigger in the 30s or 40s. And, you know, if you go into the teens, I mean, they're just as big.
I don't know whether he's taking just wholesale plagiarized advice or words that his wife has said, but afterwards, I mean, looking at saying like, you know, this kinds of things is like, eh, you know, this hasn't really changed my opinion on climate change, eh, whatever. Well, there have been bigger things back in the teens and whatnot. That's my little blue humor for today's episode. You see that, you know, this will likely cause intense storms. You have people that are evacuating, and then afterwards, oh no, whatever. What is your opinion? Has this changed your interest in climate change, in how we can be more prepared? Is it now worthy of your attention? No, not really. So this inconsistency is really kind of
it's baffling. Well, it's not really baffling. It's Trump.
Well, the thing that you were talking about earlier of saying, you know, oh, it's unheard of, Category 5, that's unheard of. It brings back to something that I've posited before, and that is when Trump says something like, who could have known that foreign policy was so complex? Whoever knew that healthcare?
It's him. He's talking about himself.
Shh, don't give it away, Meredith. But it's really true. He cannot find a distinction between himself and others. He cannot empathize, and he just thinks that if something occurs to him for the first time ever, it must be applicable to all of humanity then, because he fancies himself the representative of all of humanity. And
he knows everything.
Well, he knows everything, except when he doesn't, it meant that no one else could have known it either.
Nobody knew that we had Category 5 hurricanes before.
No.
Brand new information.
Nobody knew that foreign policy was complex. Nobody knew that healthcare was complicated. Nobody knew that taxes were, you know, a thing that most people, like, release when they're running for public office. Nobody knew. Who knew? So it further then ensconces this hypothesis of mine that he just does not see anyone other than himself and sees everyone else as also an extension of himself.
Which explains so much.
Speaking about taxes, though, California's got a bill that's working its way through their system so that you have to release 5 years of tax returns to get on their ballot.
In any kind of election or just the presidential election?
I know a presidential, but I think it goes down for other seats also.
Ooh, wow. That would be really interesting. So if you want to get on the presidential ballot, you know, on a ticket,
yeah,
you got to do that. I wonder what that'll mean for, you know, less established party candidates and things like that. But or just third party candidates, you know, non-Democrat, non-Republican candidates that are running, whether that puts up an additional barrier and how that can be then mitigated, but still enable the main principal party candidates to be truthful and honest and transparent about what their situations are. And when you say that you're worth $10 billion or whatever baloney figure Trump comes up with, that we can take you at your word because your word is actually reflected by your tax returns.
I wonder if Trump has a trouble with zeros there, too.
I think he might. Yeah. 10 million, yeah. 10 billion, 10 trillion.
$100 billion.
Well, yeah. It's
I've just got, like, the Dr. Evil thing going on in my head. $1 million.
Well, I mean, you could say maybe Trump's hair being as epic as it is an attempt to distance.
Cat?
Well, no, I mean, it's an attempt to distance himself from the bald-shaven, you know, villain portrayed both comically and slightly less comically in Bond and Bond-like films and things like that. I don't know about a pet cat that is.
I don't know.
Yeah. if he did, we know that he would have no trouble grabbing it. That's you know, on the bottom. But there's more words that Trump has released this week in more distasteful fashion, and this came to us actually not so much in he's beyond words, right? He's done using his inside voice, he's done using his words, he's just gone straight to pictures at this point.
Yes.
And this is that Trump retweeted a GIF this morning. A GIF.
Ouch.
Trump retweeted a GIF this morning that showed him hitting former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton with a golf ball. The footage shows Trump swinging a golf club and then cuts to a clip that has been digitally altered of Clinton being hit in the back with a golf ball and tripping while entering an airplane. The tweet was accompanied by the hashtag Crooked Hillary.
Of course.
Yeah.
You got to explain some things because I haven't really had internet access for the past 24 hours.
True.
I haven't seen this. What is going on? Why is Hillary Clinton relevant to Donald Trump suddenly? Like, what's going on here? Or is he just doing something in poor taste?
He yes. just loves to kick somebody over and over again. I mean, this isn't anything new. He is petty like that.
Yeah, it looks like this morning he had a little tweet rampage again and was retweeting a bunch.
Were his handlers like asleep or off duty or something?
Kellyanne maybe taking a nap. I don't know.
Well, I think General Kelly was just out of the office. I mean, he needs to take a day off sometime.
Yeah, so apparently it happens on the day when Trump also learns that GIFs are a thing, right?
Yeah.
You can respond with little animated, you know, thing. Like, I want him to like tweet out a laser cat dancing, you know,
yeah,
flying on a pizza spaceship,
yeah.
You know, maybe the, oh, heck no, you know, kind of like sassy tweets and sassy GIFs and things like that. But no, he picks something.
It's kind of irrelevant at this point. Okay, so Hillary did release her new book this week, which is highly anticipated.
It's not complimentary of Trump.
No, not at all.
Or Bernie or a lot of other people.
But it's still, yeah. Trump, put the Twitter down. Put the Twitter down.
Like, why does he need to be tweeting against
Clinton
at this time?
That's a great question. Because of her book.
I mean, she does still have currency and relevancy with folks that, you know, were very much her backers and really are lamenting the fact that that Trump has been sworn in instead of Clinton. But
sure.
But I mean, it's a done thing,
yeah,
right now as far as
done,
Trump is
it's
gone.
Over. Trump is the president. It's
get over it.
Well, yeah, there is get over
you're
it.
The president.
Yes. From Trump's perspective, get over it. You're the president. Lead your country. Stop dwelling on petty things from the past.
Maybe acknowledge climate change or fix healthcare or something.
Yeah. Or not deport our dreamers.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I mean,
or
as someone
being a white nationalist,
all of those things, yes, all of the above. The thing that, you know, was most relevant to sort of the interests of many people that I work with as an educator is the DACA deal, right? Saying, yeah, you know, putting families through these, you know, topsy turvy blenders, everything, saying like, you know, am I going to be able to complete my schooling? Am I going to be able to, you know, we have people that have DACA, that's deferred action for childhood arrivals, that are, you know, my age, that have been working for a decade. And, you know, we're talking about suddenly saying you have no more work permit, yeah, mid-year. These folks are teachers. These folks are analysts. These folks are, you know, anyone. And it doesn't, you don't have to be someone of supreme, you know, community esteem to, you know, say to be affected tremendously by this threat of suddenly having no permission to work in the United States anymore, nor be here without the threat of being deported.
Yeah.
And when people talk about dreamers, and these are the young people, these are also people up to, you know, age 35.
Mm-hmm.
These are part of your economic powerhouse that, you know, are buying houses, that are completing school. To qualify for DACA, you have to have no criminal record. So none of them have any criminal records. They're not criminals.
I understand, most of them are like really good people and have excellent jobs. And
it's just anyone who has no criminal record that was brought here before, you know, a certain age, that has applied to it and has paid, because you have to pay, yeah, about $500 every time you renew.
And that's what, every like 2 years or something.
Right.
It's an expensive process to go through. But for these people, there's no alternative. There's no other path for them to citizenship.
But no.
And we can't send them back to countries that a lot of them don't even remember living in.
I mean, you can, just many people would consider it very heartless. And
yes.
I mean, it's certainly not aligned with my values of secular humanism and how to uplift a country or the human condition. And that, you know, send them back and get in line. What other pathway is there? You know, United States has, for folks coming from different countries of origin, different wait times in order to gain entry and legal status and citizenship in the United States. And for someone from either Mexico or Philippines, the Philippines or Mexico, it's decades. You know, it's like an 87-year wait list. Without any of these kinds of different special circumstances. So when people say, like, go back to the end of the line, get in line with everyone else, well, yeah, someone who is from a country of origin, you know, I'll pull one out of my my back pocket for the moment, like Moldova, that doesn't have a high immigrant population in the United States, you know, might be able to gain residency status and citizenship, you know, in as little as 12 years.
Oh, wow.
And
as little as,
yes, as little as 12 years.
Yeah.
So, Trump pulling these topsy-turvies on folks of saying, you know, I'm removing DACA, and then I'll give it to Congress to figure out. Oh, by the way, I'm meeting with, you know, Schumer and Pelosi, which, you know, we agreed to disagree, to not agree on what we agreed or disagreed on in terms of walls and dreamers and residency statuses.
Yep.
That first part sounded like a line out of an airplane or something.
Well, we're back to Air Force One, where he decides, we've had bigger storms, right?
In the 30s.
So moving on from some of our best words to some of our not so best things, but still having to do with politics and with Trump and with Trump appointees, the conservative group, the Council for National Policy, has sent a manifesto to the Trump administration urging them to dismantle the Education Department and bring God back into classrooms. The document calls to demote the department to a sub-cabinet level advisory council, thus reducing the influence the federal government has in education. The end goal would be a, quote, gradual voluntary return at all levels to free market private schools, church schools, and home schools as the normative American practice. The document also says that states should encourage schools to recognize Christian holidays such as Christmas and Easter, display copies of the Ten Commandments, refrain from secular-based sexual health education, and teach Bible classes. Guys, this disappoints me, wounds me, hurts me so much. We've all known in the education community this was coming. It's just the news right now is that it actually got published and delivered. But I can't even muster the energy to freak out about it at the moment. take it from here, guys.
I know this has been talked about since about February, I believe. They've been talking about this whole manifesto thing. And yeah, this hurts me down to my core. I mean, everything about this is wrong.
Yeah, it really is. It's terrifying. It's really terrifying, actually. Wanting to, you know, promote a Judeo-Christian education and basically like removing any funding for public schools, that's not good.
Well, free market private schools, church schools, and homeschools as the normative American practice, and saying return to that. The fact is, you know, you had Thomas Jefferson that you know is about as, you know, original as you can get, saying free compulsory education, public education for, you know, people in the United States or in the colonies. In Washington state, we have our constitution that say all youthful residents residing in its borders, so not even talking about citizens, but any residents. So I don't know what they're talking about in terms of a gradual return to this, right? What are we returning to? Like, the United States wasn't founded
conservative Christians and conservative folk believe that we were. They somehow have altered their own memories and gaslit themselves to believe that we were this nation founded on God and religious principles. And at some point we had Little House on the Prairie in their schoolroom with all the...
But even in that Little House on the Prairie schoolroom, I mean, that's still a public school.
Well, yeah, the one-room schoolhouse is the public school that serves the greater community. Yes, yeah. Okay, there was, you know, religious instruction going on at the same time because we hadn't really sussed out all of those details. But the fact is, yeah, when we had the colonial hornbooks, right, and the primers for readers and the Our Fathers and all of those kinds of things, that's colonial times. That's pre-founding of the United States. That's what you want to return to, and you call yourself American?
Sounds like it.
You're talking colonial. You're talking pre-Declaration of Independence. I mean, what's going on here? Is that what they're talking about returning to? And they call themselves, what is it, the Council for National Policy? What nation are they talking about here?
There is nothing good about this.
Jesus is America. That doesn't exist. I
mean, who are the people even in charge of this thing?
So that's the other side of this coin with the Council for National Policy. Is there's actually a lot of ties to the Trump administration in the Council for National Policy itself. Their membership rosters are pretty limited, and they don't allow a lot of access to them. So you can't really see who all is on this council. But there are a few people that have been notable people that have been members or on the council. Steve Bannon is a member.
So that's a tie to the Trump administration, but not necessarily a favored tie at this moment.
No, but you've got Kellyanne Conway. She was on their executive committee at one point in time. Betsy DeVos's mother has been on the council's board of governors, and her father has been the president twice, most recently in 1992.
Okay, so not incredibly recently, but enough have had a founding, sort of like a foundational influence on Betsy DeVos. I mean,
yeah.
Betsy and her husband, up until I think 2007, were donating money to them as well.
Correct.
So did they stop donating money because they needed to cut ties to this educational thing? Because she's had her eye on being an educational leader this whole time. I mean, what's...
That would be a very educated speculation.
I'm sure there's someone that can make those connections and connect those dots. But the thing that's the craziest part to me is the return to the free market private schools, church schools, and homeschools. That they are just deluded in what they think they're returning to. I mean, when you return to those things, free market, we're returning to a time when courts did not have a say in the fact that children should be educated regardless of their national origin. Children who have learning needs, either physical or mental, still have a right to an education and cannot be discriminated against. I mean, we're talking, Plyler v. Doe, that says that any youth, regardless of their citizenship status, has a right to be educated. And that's what they want to be returning to?
Well, they don't care about any of those things anyway.
Well, they think
that's
godly.
So are we going to return to like, okay, you get an education through the fifth grade and then, you know, go to the factories, go work on the farm, go go do this, go do that.
Well, that's free market, isn't it? I mean, free market is also anti-union at that point. So, you know, unions that bring about 8-hour workdays and weekends and working conditions.
So, yeah, let's just get a couple generations of people that are unskilled and don't have a good education and, you know, see how our nation works after that.
You know, we already actually have Bible classes that per our, you know, different state laws, students can take Bible classes and be excused from their secular school day for a period to go to their churches and have their religious education, and it's considered an excused absence, and it's a sort of a blank in their schedule. They can walk across the street to their churches, get those kinds of education, come right back in the middle of the school day.
Is it considered a ungraded class or an elective?
An ungraded class that just has an opening in their schedule and things like that. So this happens with LDS churches. This happens with Muslim cultural schools to help them study language. This happens with Hebrew schools. And so saying, you know, we need to teach Bible classes, there's nothing stopping, you know, families and religious communities from doing Bible instruction, even during the school day, to permit those kids to leave their school day and unpenalized to go and get their education and then come back onto campus. So this is...
I didn't know that happened, actually.
I didn't know that either. So, and that makes it seem like this entire call for them to bring schools back to being more godly is doubly stupid. If you already have provisions where students can get their religious education during the day, why do you need to bring it into the schools?
Because they don't want it pluralistic, right? They don't want the Muslim and the Jewish kids and the LDS kids to be able to go and get their seminary instruction unpenalized during the school day and have an open elective, you know, in their schedule.
And they don't want that whole ungodly secular stuff in there.
They want the one kind of biblical instruction going on in class that doesn't allow for any kind of pluralism.
And I mean, that's exactly what is prohibited in the Constitution. So, sorry, game over.
Man, I don't know what we can possibly do or say about Betsy DeVos and her loose ties or tight ties to what's this count national policy colonial baloney business. Man, it just makes me mad. This is Ask an Atheist. Give us a voicemail at 844-SKEPTIC. We'll be back after the break to maybe talk about things that make me less mad.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at SeattleAtheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist with me, Becky Friedman, and Meredith and Wes. You know, I got really kind of heated during that last segment, And I was talking about and thinking about education and really just so glad that so many of us receive a really good, robust civics education, especially about the Constitution and First Amendments and things like that. Oh, wait! So, according to a recent national survey by the Annenberg Public Policy Center, 21% of Americans doubt that atheists are granted the same rights under the Constitution as other citizens. A whopping 39% of respondents did not mark the option very accurate for the statement, quote, under the U.S. Constitution, U.S. citizens who are atheists have the same rights as all other citizens. And a startling 10% marked very inaccurate as their response. Some people had put somewhat accurate or somewhat inaccurate and things like that. And the figures were slightly higher for those who did not believe the same statement about Muslims in America. This is atrocious.
Yeah, there's nothing good about this.
I don't know what it means that, okay, under the U.S. Constitution, U.S. citizens who are atheists have the same rights as all other citizens. What do you mean by somewhat accurate? You think that that's somewhat accurate?
They have some of the same
75%
rights.
of the same rights.
I don't know. Yeah. So this is just another call for, you know, homeschooling and church-based public free market free private youth based. No.
But didn't you also say something about Muslims in there?
Yes. So actually, the figures were worse about the public perception of the rights that Muslim U.S. citizens have.
Oh, my goodness.
But it wasn't that much worse.
It was kind of like on par, but yeah. it was out of the
like
realm
3%
of
different.
Yeah. So you had like 39% that didn't say it was very accurate that atheists have all the rights. And it was something like 41 or 43% of people didn't mark very accurate that Muslims have the same.
Wait,
rights.
You're saying we're not number one.
Yeah, it's
we're not
sad.
The first worst,
sad figures. Regardless,
it really is. I'm wondering, what exactly do people? I don't know. I can't even wrap my mind around what kind of question I'm trying to ask.
What
rights don't we have?
Right?
Like,
exactly.
What do we not get to do
that everyone else gets to?
Yeah,
do?
Yeah, like can we not?
Christians get free popcorn.
Oh, we don't get free popcorn. Dang, that sucks.
It
we
does.
Don't. I don't think that's in the Constitution. No, what's
it
in the Constitution that...
we don't have the right to make a left-hand turn at a stoplight.
Dang.
But everyone else has the right to make a left-hand turn on a stoplight?
Yes.
At a stoplight, really?
Yes.
I think, I don't know, Washington State Patrol might disagree with that and local police and things like that.
Seriously, I mean, like, I can't think of a thing that we're not allowed to do.
I don't know. I mean, maybe
do people really not understand the Constitution that much?
I don't know whether it's like they interpret the question as an opinion. Like, do you think that atheists shouldn't have as many rights? Do you think that Muslims shouldn't have any rights as everyone else? Do you think that everyone else gets more special rights? Like, we're more equal? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to answer your question. The survey seemed to be kind of really well worded. It didn't seem to be confusing about that statement.
No, it didn't look confusing.
But apparently some people think, not quite 100% of all the same rights get afforded to atheists, because apparently too many people have been going to free market Christian Bible teaching home schools or something like that. Can we move on to the Carolinas?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So a North Carolina mother has invented a spray that she claims will attract any Bigfoot within a mile and a half radius.
Wow.
Allie Megan Webb is selling Bigfoot juice for $7 via her Facebook business, Happy Body Care, where she sells other products made with essential oils. The Bigfoot hunter group Bigfoot 911 reports that they had field tested the spray in McDowell County, North Carolina in early August and came close enough to a Bigfoot to maintain eye contact for 5 to 10 seconds, but were unable to obtain any proof of the encounter. And as a bonus, the spray also doubles as a bug repellent.
Okay, yeah, so Bigfoot is attracted to citronella. That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe lavender and any volatile compounds like rosemary. You know,
I would love to smell like rosemary.
Chrysanthemum.
Yeah, he's definitely not a mosquito.
Well,
we know that.
It's not just he or she. It's like any Bigfoot,
yes.
Right? So,
right.
Oh, I'm sorry. There are subspecies of Bigfoot.
Or any member of this particular species, right?
I remember the great migrations of Bigfoot going across the plains, you know, about 20 years ago.
Well, they got down to, you know, like a population of only 18, and then we decided that conservation of Bigfoot was essential. Sorry, that's American bison.
Did we try to repopulate them in different areas?
I don't know. But okay.
Transport them to the North Carolinas.
So this is actually kind of a funny one because so that Bigfoot 911 group, you know, that she talks about. So
the Bigfoot hunters?
Yeah, one of them's her hubby. So she makes a nice, you know, like a essential oils bug repellent, and then they all wear their bug repellent and find a reported Bigfoot, and then conclude from there that it was the spray that had attracted the purported Bigfoot to.
It was definitely the spray and not the glow sticks that they lay down in the woods, because they lay down glow sticks in the woods.
Did they really?
Yeah.
What?
This is one of their no.
That's how
this is what Bigfoot 911 does?
Apparently, this is what Bigfoot 911 does. They think that glow sticks attract Bigfoot.
Bigfoots are ravers.
Woo!
Oh, so they're all about that plural life.
Candy necklaces.
Yeah,
like, you should attract them. String little Hansel and Gretel.
Play some what, Skrillex or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Ah, Bigfoot dance party. I actually like where this is going.
See,
and there will be no mosquitoes because we're wearing a bug repellent.
Oh, that would be a great fundraiser for like a skeptics group around there. A Bigfoot rave. Yeah. Do it, Carolina atheists and skeptics.
See, whenever you talk about Bigfoot 911, the first thing that comes to our minds, weirdly, is Reno 911, the old TV show.
Oh, see, I was thinking Rescue 911, so narrated by Will.
Are you?
I'm thinking about a whole bunch of people wearing khaki shorts and mirrored sunglasses.
Yeah,
and
I was
big
thinking
porn stashes.
Hot shorts.
Oh yeah, hot shorts.
Bigfoot in a short shorts. Yeah, little booty shorts. Bigfoot booty shorts. Yeah, oh, that's a whole nother competing market, right? I got to open up a Facebook business. So we looked at it and you know, the journalist said, well, is there any evidence that points to the Bigfoot juice or bug spray or whatever actually attracting Bigfoot? And you know what her response was, guys?
No, what was her response?
There's no evidence that it doesn't.
Have we heard that before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that God doesn't exist. Will you prove that God doesn't exist? No, that's not how... That's not how evidence works.
Yeah. Oh, so that's a throw forward, isn't it?
Yeah. So from that supernatural realm, you know, there are some people that think that Bigfoot, there's like different camps. There's some people that think that Bigfoot is just a really, really like shy species that isn't really observed very often. There's other, you know, species that have been documented that just are very, very infrequently seen. And then there's a whole bunch of other people that believe that Bigfoot is actually a supernatural being that comes from like different dimensions, right?
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
So we've got a question about the supernatural realm. This comes to us from Avalon from Australia. And Avalon writes, what would it take for you guys to believe in a transcendent, metaphysical, and or supernatural realm? What line must be crossed before you can honestly say you believe that miracles, magic, supernatural, psychic abilities are real and genuinely exist? If someone was, say, having a dream every night about the future day, premonition, and could accurately tell what would happen in the daily news, for instance, every day, would this make you guys believe that the supernatural world exists? What if you were to witness accurate clairvoyant activities or abilities where someone could guess what number you were thinking of every time you test them? What do you guys make of this? What would be evidence for you?
Well, goodness. I mean, honest, repeatable, demonstrable evidence of something that has been, you know, properly documented and tested in a nice laboratory setting would be nice. That'd be a nice start.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same thing I was going to say. Something that is measurable, physically measurable against a standard, something that's testable.
Claim, right? Yeah, a testable claim.
It just has to be a testable claim. And I think
The person needs to say something like, I will do the X. And then somebody has to lay down rules and test for X and see if there's actually something that's there. And then, you know, it'd be nice if somebody came back and, you know, tested that hypothesis. So
the repeat your results and see if there's any errors and analyze your methods to see if there was any kind of...
Kind of like how science always works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Kind of like what James Randi had done for so many years with the Million Dollar Challenge. Wouldn't that be nice?
Actually, I really like the Million Dollar Challenge. And I like that James Randi, for a while, he had a few educational modules. So James Randi Educational Foundation, for a while, put out some modules that were aligned to, you know, common like state standards for science and critical thinking. He has a great one about testing clairvoyant abilities that like you can do in your classroom. It's really fun. And it's about setting up, like, you have a series of cards and, you know, and if it was, if you had no clairvoyant abilities, if you repeated with a certain number, you know, of trials, you would find someone would have, you know, no better than chance, you know, likelihood of guessing the right image on the card.
Right.
And if someone has clairvoyant abilities, you know, you would think that they would have a better than 50% chance of guessing the image on a card, like guessing your number that you're thinking of. Now, the thinking of seems to be like not set up with that, you know, measurable laboratory experimental model, because what's the influences that go into what number you're thinking of? You know, I could say, like, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. And if you know me, Meredith, you know, you might know that, I don't know, I have two cats and I have used the number 2 in a lot of different other kind of funny things.
Right.
So you might have some knowledge of that that's a number that I would tend to be thinking of, right?
Yeah.
And that definitely wouldn't qualify an experimental model as, you know, like double blind or, you know, free from bias and stuff like that.
And humans like to, just specifically with the number picking one, humans like to have their own number patterns in their brain. So it's very likely if somebody knew who the tester was, they would have a very good idea of what kind of numbers that they would be thinking of, because we're very, our brains are
set in our ways.
Yeah, we're very set in our ways.
Yeah, I think, you know, I always tend to just sort of like throw out and might have certain go-to numbers, or some people will just say, like, oh, I've played this, you know, thinking of number game so many times, I'm just always going to pick the lowest one or, you know, the highest one or something like that.
So still bringing it back to this, even if somebody like had ESP or clairvoyant abilities, I mean, that doesn't prove any supernatural tie either. That'd be a totally separate claim to look into.
So that wouldn't suggest the existence of a supernatural realm that's beyond the physical world.
Yeah.
So I got to say, you know, Avalon's email, this is the distilled questions from Avalon's email. And Avalon's email was very, very long, that described, you know, a book that Avalon had read about, you know, that the dream world was the real world and the dream world made the physical world sort of come into being and things like that. So what would it take for me to believe that the dream world was actual reality? I mean, there's things that I can believe because I, you know, feel them to be right, but I can acknowledge that I don't have evidence of them, or that there's, you know, that might not influence how I, you know, say that other people should believe. So we all have beliefs, right? Like, I believe that there is no God, but I don't have evidence that there's no God. I don't have evidence that there is a God, and that's why I believe that there is no God. How I act based on that, you know, is to, you know, it's sourced from my secular humanistic values, from interactions I have with humanity, from philosophical exercises I have, from conversations, from study, all those kinds of things, right? So even if you have a belief, you can be led to believe something through evidence, but you can also be led to believe something through a lack of evidence and say, like, okay, I believe that there is no God. I know that I might be wrong about it. So I don't necessarily know that there's a bad thing to say, like, you know, I believe that there is, that the dream world is the real world, as long as it's not interfering with how then you comport yourself during your wakeful experience, right?
Yeah.
During your physical time.
This harkens back to, I think, something we were talking about quite a while ago on the show. Not exactly the same thing, but we were talking about if we're living in a simulation.
The Matrix.
And not to be all like, I don't really care, but also, I don't really care. It's not going to change my present reality either way. If God is real and I go to heaven, or God is not real, I am the person that I am now, living the life that I'm living now, and it's not going to change that in any way, having that knowledge. So...
Does so sometimes matter? in this, the question...
It does matter. It absolutely matters, but...
The question itself, though, what would it take to convince me of it, isn't... For some atheists, not an interesting question, because they're not interested in being convinced that something that can't be proven, you know, or isn't going to affect us, you know, can be believed or not.
The whole first line, though, talking about transcendence or metaphysical things. I still got to think about brain injuries. And, you know, if the mind is separate from the body and the mind is damaged, then all evidence that I have shows that a lot of people's cognitive abilities will be damaged or somehow otherwise affected. I had brain damage myself when I was a child, and, you know, I know that I came out the other way a little bit different than I used to be. So
if you really had a soul, yes, and if your soul was the metaphysical, you know, disembodied part of you that was impacted somehow by the physical world, how would that even, that's evidence against
I'm assuming that the motorcycle actually punched my soul when I was hit.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
That can happen because it's non-physical.
She said with a very confused look.
Yeah. Well, you know, a podcast is a very visual medium, so this is good.
So Avalon, I don't think that you'll find much success trying to look for what skeptics or atheists, you know, would see. That when you say, well, this is an interesting thought experiment, and wouldn't it be interesting if this was the case? And I read this really creative book, or someone believes that this happened to them. You know, that probably isn't going to be convincing or compelling to skeptics and atheists. So I think, when we say, you know, to kind of sum it up, one, for some of us, it's not super interesting. And two, you got to ask a testable question. Those who are scientifically minded, those who are skeptics, want to see what evidence points to, and then use that evidence to try and come to our best understanding epistemologically of what is going on in our reality. So, Avalon, I don't know that you'll be super satisfied with our answer, but hopefully that's what you got from us for today, for today on that kind of supernatural realm. I think we're going to leave the supernatural realm and come back to something a little bit more earth-based, possibly, or possibly parallel earth-based, after the break.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com. I wanna bring it back, but it's
more than basic. Has Ngadwe Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster Ngadwe Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an Ngadwe Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist. So I said that we were going to be coming back to some maybe earth-based things or some parallel earth-based things. Guys, I want you to watch out this week. Meredith, Wesley,
yes.
Let's go watch out. Okay. Because since the eclipse happened, it has, poor intended, foretold the possible collision of our Earth with some supposed death planet. No. Okay, so we got to be watching out for David Meade's purported death planet Nibiru sometime between Wednesday the 20th and Saturday the 23rd. Mm. Are you guys scared? What are you doing to prepare for the possible end of the world?
I'm going to cook a good pasta.
Pasta? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like pasta. I just got my motorcycle, so I guess I got to ride it 24/7 for a few days before the world ends.
Yeah. Nice. Riding a motorcycle on a new license on 9 hours of sleep for like 3 days straight is an excellent idea.
Yeah. That's, I won't die before the end of the world.
Maybe it'll even prevent the crash of this, you know, planet.
I wonder if I just drive in the opposite direction of the Earth's rotation really fast, if I could get us, you know, out of the...
Yeah. Totally
slow down the Earth's rotation so we don't run into the planet.
Yeah. So I got really mad about this. I think unreasonably mad about this because I was flipping through my phone and someone had linked somewhere to it. And it was a Fox News. No, I was flipping through just news things. And there was a Fox News screenshot that I took because it was just so ridiculous. It was in the science section of Fox News under the tag of planets, and the headline was "Biblical Prophecy Claims the World Will End on September 23rd, Christian Numerologists Claim."
See, that's not a thing.
First of all, you used claim twice in the same damn headline. Second of all, numerologists, many of them, more than one. No, as far as I can tell, who is it? David Meade? And he says it's somewhere in the Bible.
But third of all, Fox News doesn't have a science section.
I
first
know.
Of all, most actual Christians don't believe in numerology. It's from Satan.
Yeah,
how many more of alls can we have with this?
Well, third of, fourth of, eighth 19th. Of all, planet nth
one
of all.
Million.
Shouldn't we mention a certain website right now that Sam put out?
Oh, yeah. So this harkens back also to We Can't Know, which was our little, you know, fun sort of art installation, internet art installation that was started by Sam during the predictions of Harold Camping, who had his WeCanKnow.com, right? The big billboards, the big buses. Because people have been trying to be knowing about the end of the world since the beginning of the world, or since the beginning of humans thinking about the world.
Even that lovely Christian Bible has a mention that we can't know the end, the hour of.
Well, we don't know the hour or the minute. We just know a span of 3 days where it's going to happen.
Well, also, this is
we're still okay.
And guys, this isn't just said in the Bible. Apparently, it's also written in the pyramids at Giza.
Dun, dun, dun.
According to David Meade.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, from what I understand, he wrote a pretty good book about the how to make a really good Pinewood Derby car, so he should stick with that.
So, yeah, because Pinewood Derby physics qualifies you to make claims about a planet in geosynchronous orbit with the Earth on the other side of the sun that we can't see that apparently... Oh, yeah, he also says that he has photos that he's not shown the public of the planet.
Wait, how can he get photos of it if it's on the other side of the sun?
I don't know. Perhaps the pyramid told him how. The pyramids knew about photography. I don't know.
The
pyramids are
actually cameras. I get it now.
I love your Mary Tyler Moore voice.
Is that Mary Tyler Moore?
Kind of. That's what it reminds me of.
Really? Well, you know what Mary Tyler Moore doesn't remind me of?
Weezer?
Juggalos.
Oh, that would be an amazing Photoshop, though.
Okay, so that was my best attempt to bring
was,
us
that
into.
Was a good attempt.
Did you guys know that this weekend we missed an epic gathering on the mall at Washington? Yeah, so two rallies planned for Saturday on the Washington Mall had the potential to attract huge crowds, but neither were very well attended. The mother of all rallies, described on its website as a pro-Trump rally to support and defend American freedom, drew about 1,000 people. The organizers attempted to distance themselves from the recent neo-Nazi conflicts in Charlottesville, Virginia, by stating that Confederate flags and racist language would not be allowed, but displayed the names of prominent alt-right figures on their parade float. Meanwhile, on the other side of the mall, fans of the alternative rap duo Insane Clown Posse had their own rally as a collective statement of who they are. The fans, who refer to themselves as Juggalos, have been engaged in ongoing legal conflicts with the FBI over their on-again, off-again classification as a gang. The only reported interaction between the two groups was when people left the mother of all rallies to hang out with the Juggalos because their rally looked like more fun. Guys, please explain this to me. How did we end up in a world where our at the first weekend of fall, or that, you know, in between Labor Day, the end of summer, and the beginning of fall, we have Nazis, not Nazis, haha, just kidding, sorry, not sorry, rally, and Juggalo Insane Clown Posses that don't understand how magnets work because they think it's a miracle.
Well, I mean, oh, wow, that's a lot to unpack. Okay, I gotta think first. The mother of all rallies, wasn't there supposed to be a million people they were hoping to show up there?
No, is this another problem of zeros?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is more than just a factor of 10 here.
This is a factor of...
So 1,000? Wait, 1,000? I'm just thinking. That means that... Okay, I work at a high school that has about 2,000 people on campus on any given day. That means half the high school.
Half your high school.
No, no. The whole high school. Between those that group and the Juggalos, you had your entire school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do not defame my school with such things.
Well, I'm sure you don't have a lot of Juggalos at your school.
No, because there's no gang activity permitted on public school campuses. Mm. So
they can't dress like Juggalos. Because
no. Actually,
technically, I think right now they could, though, because the Juggalos are back to not being classified as a gang.
Ah, well, you can't have the little hatchet dude, the little hatchet running dude, which is the symbol for ICP, for Insane Clown Posse. You can't have that because it's weapons imagery.
Oh.
Because it's a hatchet.
Right.
You can't have imagery that's associated with violence that could be used to intimidate
or
harass.
Associated with violence or just Faygo?
Well, oh, maybe that's why the pro-Trump freedom people went over, because they needed some soda, right? So you needed this.
Yes, well, the Juggalos were thirsty.
I remember seeing a sign in the crowds there that said "Faygo, not fascism."
Oh, so were Juggalos actually against Trump, or did they just poorly plan this, and they happened to be at the same place at the same time, and the Park Service granted them both rally permits?
I mean, the mall is really long. They had like groups on either side. So yeah, I think that these are totally two separate groups for the most part. I'm sure there's a little bit of overlap, but from what I can tell, Juggalos aren't really in favor of the orange one.
Yeah, they're allegedly apolitical, so they don't take a side. However, if you look at images that came from the rally yesterday, there were a lot of the Juggalos that were using Trump's image mockingly in their signs. So I don't think they like
sort of
him.
Painted so in that funny clown, with black and white face?
Yeah, their clown makeup and stuff, and you get the... You know, Faygo, not fascism. I don't think they're in favor of Trump, which makes it even funnier that the pro-Trump rallies wanted to go hang out with the Juggalos.
So there was no conflict, right?
There wasn't any actual conflict, no. This was being made out to be some sort of like huge war of the Nazis versus the Juggalos, and who's going to win? And they both came with just like a couple people and ended up like fist bumping at the end. I don't know.
So there wasn't any kind of wrestling match then?
No. I know of one reporter that got a very warm and unexpected hug.
Oh, well,
from a Juggalo.
Well, we should always ask for someone's consent before engaging in bodily contact.
I would totally agree, but it is.
But there are some cultural norms that, you know, maybe need to be established here and there.
I mean, the Juggalos think of themselves as a family. That's what they
family.
Say.
Family.
Yeah, that was their chant.
Oh, so, I'm getting goosebumps. Stop it, Meredith.
So, you know, a hug is better than a punch.
Okay. All right. So there was no punching of Nazis at this particular rally that was downgraded by factors of tens and 100s.
So, yes. Yeah, it was not a Category 5. It was more like a Category 1.
Well, who knew that there were Category 5 Juggalo gatherings? So, no wrestling matches, but I'm gonna bring us now to a wrestler. And, you know, we've talked on Ask an Atheist over the years about wrestling, but it is not really my forte. It is not my strength, so to say. So, this was all about a professional wrestler, Roman Reigns. Do you know about Roman Reigns? No, his
name's Dog.
Just a little bit. I know a little.
So professional wrestler Roman Reigns got into a Twitter spat this weekend with an atheist critic. Mr. Reigns tweeted, "For prayers to everyone dealing with Hurricane Irma, may God bless and protect all those in its path, hashtag be safe." A Twitter user calling themselves Challenge Faith, tweeting from @noevidenceforgod, responded, "Dear, quote, God, maybe you don't make a hurricane next time, you idiot." The wrestler responded, "Faithless fool, when your time on earth is done, enjoy nothing." Is that how wrestlers speak? Is that the professional wrestler voice?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
or Mary Tyler Moore as a wrestler?
That's Mary Tyler Moore's impression of a wrestler. Yes, got it spot on.
Explain this to me because I am not the wrestling aficionado. So are they known for being like anti-atheist? Is this part of his character?
I mean, almost all of them have a character of some sort that they play up. You were talking earlier, Meredith, about CM Punk and this guy's actual like former tag team partner.
Yeah,
right?
Seth Rollins is another kind of outspoken atheist. There's not a lot of them. I mean, it's the same in any other, you know, industry. There are not a lot of outspoken atheists. There's a couple. There's CM Punk. There's Seth Rollins. But yeah, I don't know what Roman Reigns is doing here. And it could be persona based, but
so how do you know when a wrestler is tweeting out something that's based on their character?
That's a great question.
So it could be faithless fool. I mean, fool is a word that's used by a lot of, you know, Bible believers because right. At some point it says, you know, I don't know, he who doth not believe in me shall be called a fool. I'm really making up Bible verses here in scripture. So
verbatim, you got it.
Yes. Yeah, so like, I don't know. I can't really tell if, because it doesn't look that much different from people who are very fervent about their faith and very offended that someone would, you know, would say, hey, you know, I'm going to challenge what you're saying with this prayers and thoughts and all that kind of stuff and say, if you're praying for God to help all the people devastated by Irma, couldn't you have prayed for God not to have made the hurricane in the first place? I mean,
that would have been more helpful.
Yeah.
No hurricane at all.
No hurricane. And if it had been helpful in maybe getting Trump to change his opinion on climate change urgency, like maybe, but,
yeah, but
I wouldn't
like
want
the backwards effect.
Yeah.
Opposite. He doubled down.
Yeah. There was actually a hurricane yesterday that didn't happen. Thanks to God.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
you didn't hear about this.
Oh, so no. it was all of my...
Didn't hear about it because it didn't happen?
That's
thank
right.
you to all of those who are praying to prevent the hurricane that didn't happen. Also, thank you for praying for the lack of lightning storm. Thank you also for praying to not have a tornado hit my house because, you know, someone must have been doing that because there was no tornado that hit my house. There was no lightning storm that struck our, you know, top, you know, vent.
So they must have been praying so hard to not have a hurricane over the last couple weeks that just forgot about not praying to have no forest fires up here.
Oh, no forest fires. Yeah. Forgot about having no forest fires. Finally, we're getting a little bit of rain to clear the smoke out of the atmosphere. Also, hey, why didn't you pray for no earthquake in Mexico? I mean, no floods in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Seriously, get on that. I mean, who's
letting
he calling
us down.
Fool now? Yeah. So, I don't really know about, you know, how many people are following sort of the wrestler personas and mixing this fantasy versus reality of personas with the fantasy or reality of their personal, you know, personal professions of faith.
Do you know if this Reigns guy is considered a good guy or a bad guy?
I don't know if he's a face or a heel, no.
Okay.
Sorry, a good guy or a bad guy?
Good guy or bad guy for
it's
those of us?
It's been a few years since I've actually watched wrestling religiously, but religiously, oh, no pun intended, but I used to be really into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he is on the good end of things, but I that was at least a year ago, so I don't know.
Well, Roman Reigns, we hope that you will be more at peace with, you know, other people's beliefs and perhaps even, you know, frustration that, you know, people are looking to God to save them when, you know, we could have said, hey, you know what, if you're so faithful in God about helping you after the fact, why couldn't you have been faithful in God not really doing this in the first place? This is Ask an Atheist. Thanks to Wes and Meredith for co-writing and co-hosting this week with me. I'm today's producer, Becky Friedman. Our music, as always, is by Chris Cullman and Phil Whitfield. If you want to submit an insane clown posse version of Ask an Atheist theme, we'd love it. Become Sam's patron at patreon.com/sammulvey. Contribute to Peggy's challenge by going to askanatheist.tv, just like Clint and Jared and Alex did this week and this month. Tweet us at askanatheistwa. Email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. And give us voicemail seriously at 844-SKEPTIC. We'll play your voicemail questions on the air. Give us a question at voicemail. This is Ask an Atheist. We'll see you next week. Mary Tyler Moore. How does she work?